you know, at peace, to be happy. Not in the superficial sense where, you know, everything's going well because, well, you're comfortable and you've just gotten everything you've wanted and you've had a beautiful meal and you're well fed and everything's going good and you're happy, happy, happy. It's not in that sense, but rather it's in the sense of well-being and contentedness and peace that there is, that no matter what your circumstances are, you have that sense of contentment and peace and deep sense of happiness because you know that God is there with you. And the first step to real happiness and peace that Jesus gives us is that when we face our poverty of spirit and we recognize, I do not have what it takes in myself to be the person I was created to be. I am totally poverty stricken. We all are. We don't have within ourselves to be able to live the life that God created us to live. And we need to recognize that. I'm bankrupt. I'm poverty stricken. And that leads to the second thing that Jesus says, and we're to mourn our spiritual condition, which we described last week as we're mourning in the means of repentance. I'm to be repentant. I don't live the way I'm supposed to live, and I need to be repentant of that. And repentance is more than just being sorry for what I do. It's being, and that's necessary, that's important. We do need to repent of things that we do. But we also need to look at what is causing that. It's who we are that we need to mourn. I am a sinner. That is what I am. I am a sinner, and I sin. And I need to come in repentance before God, and in that spirit of repentance, which is turning from living life my way, the way I want to do it, to living life God's way and what He wants. And so we're to turn from living in independence from God to living in dependence upon God. And as we do, we're comforted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who replaces our poverty with the riches of Jesus Christ. Who replaces our weakness with the strength of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit who replaces our defeat with the victory of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit who replaces our sin with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As I said last week, we live an exchanged life. I surrender my life to Jesus Christ and give my life to Him. And He, in exchange, gives me His life. Fills me with Himself. I'm not righteous, but I'm clothed in His righteousness. It's an exchanged life. I give Him, and He takes what I am and the poverty of that, and He pours on me the riches of all that He is. And that brings us now to Matthew 5 and verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And there are two things in this statement. There is a condition and there is a promise, as there is in each one of these Beatitudes. The condition is, blessed are the meek, whatever that means. And the promise is, they will inherit the earth, whatever that means. So let's start with the condition. Blessed are the meek. You know, if you look up the word meek in a dictionary, you'll find it means to be humble, to be submissive, to be compliant. The inevitable consequence of facing our poverty of spirit and mourning that poverty of spirit is that you walk humbly before God. You realize that you are broken, that you are poverty stricken spiritually. You can't live the life that you're created to live, and you walk humbly before God. And if you're not sure how to walk humbly, you need to look at Jesus Christ. You need to look at his life. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, Jesus says, "I am gentle and humble in heart." And if you have trouble knowing what humility is, look at the life of Jesus and look at him. You know, the world highly values things like strength and power and aggressiveness and self-confidence and a self-assurance. But Jesus says, it is the meek who inherit the earth. In humility, there is great strength. But the meaning of meekness is more than just humility. For one of the dictionary definitions of meekness is to be submissive. Submissive to whom? Well, in this context, it is being submissive to Jesus Christ. It's not being submissive to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that, you know, want to push you around. You don't get pushed around by everyone. But rather, it's in meekness and submission to Jesus. And we must recognize the only way to live life as God intended us to live is to live in submission to Jesus Christ as Lord. For when we face our poverty of spirit and we mourn that poverty, humility is the outcome as we recognize our own bankruptcy. So where do you turn? You turn to Jesus Christ. You turn in submission to him. You receive him and you submit your life to Jesus. And this is fundamental to living the Christian life. You know, there are many people who come to Christ primarily because they want to be saved and they want to have their sins forgiven so they can be assured of going to heaven when they died. It's like carrying a life insurance policy in your pocket. You know, well, I'll receive Jesus, so I'm going to heaven. And so there it is. I've got my life insurance policy. You know, the gospel is so much bigger than that. In the New Testament, Jesus is described as Savior some 24 times. But Jesus is described as Lord over 600 times. Jesus is Lord. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 9, and this verse is not going to appear on the screen because I didn't want it to appear on the screen. I wanted you to listen to it and not be reading ahead of me when I read it. In Romans chapter 14, verse 9, Paul writes to the Romans and he says, "For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that..." Let me reread that part. "For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that..." How would you finish that sentence if I stopped right there? Well, "For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that my sins might be forgiven." "For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that I might go to heaven." "For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that I might live with him for eternity." All that's true. It's wonderfully true. But Paul writes and he says, "For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living." Jesus Christ died and returned to life not simply to get us off the hook of our sinful nature and of who we are, but that he might be Lord. And he might exercise his authority in our life, whether we're alive or whether we're dead. Imagine, whether you're alive or whether you're dead, Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's going to exercise his authority whether you're alive or whether you're dead, whether you're on earth or whether you're in heaven. And this is a relationship where Jesus Christ is Lord. And although it's wonderfully true that Jesus saves us from our sins, we cannot detach his work as Savior from his role as Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Because Lord is who Jesus is, and saving is what he does. You know, when Jesus comes to live within your life, within my life, it's wonderfully true. He does save us. But that's not his only function. Jesus died and returned to life that he might be Lord. And if you want to be a Christian, if you want eternal life, it's through Jesus Christ moving in as Lord of your life. You know, it has been said, if Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If Jesus is not Lord of all the things in your life and you're bringing them and surrendering them to him, then he's not Lord at all in your life. And this is something that, you know, will challenge every one of us every day that we're alive, that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, I want to keep on coming back to running life my way. I want to do my things. I want to do what I want to do. And a lot of times I'm scared to do what Jesus wants to do. It can be a struggle, can't it? All the time. C.S. Lewis wrote that 6 months after becoming a Christian, God began to change his life around and to adjust everything. He wrote it was kind of like having his home renovated. Have you ever had your home renovated and you're still living in it? You know, Lewis said it sounds good. You know, a bit of paint here and some touch up there and, oh, fix that crack in the wall and get it all fixed up and, oh, maybe put in a new thermal pane window in that spot and that's all good and wonderful. But Lewis said, instead, walls were getting torn down and the old staircase was ripped out. And all the walls were getting broken into and the electrical and the plumbing were all being upgraded and the place was in total chaos. And Lewis said to God, what are you doing to my life? And God replied, don't you know? I am renovating your little ramshackled shack into a palace, into the temple of God. You know, when Jesus changes your little ramshackled shack into the temple of God, it can be painful at times. It can be really inconvenient at times. And there's times there's going to be a battle going on between your ears. There's going to be a revolution going on between your ears. And you're going to say, God, what are you doing? But when you say, I recognize my poverty of spirit, and I live in a spirit of mourning that poverty, there's no other logical thing to do than to submit yourself to Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. And when you do, what happens? Well, here's the promise. You'll inherit the earth. Now, what does that mean? What I find interesting is what Jesus did not say. Jesus did not say they will inherit heaven. They will, but he didn't say that's what they'll inherit. He says they will inherit the earth. It's about living with meaning here on earth right now. We will, at the end of time, move on as Jesus has promised, to enjoy his presence in heaven for all eternity. But the scriptures do not tell us a whole lot about that. The scriptures are about how God is at work here and now on earth as we are on our journey to heaven. So don't get frightened of the will of God for your life. Rather, look for and embrace the will of God. Because you won't be happy or content with anything less. So let's just look at this for a minute. If you're not inheriting the earth, let me put this in another way. If you are not in your life, you're not finding contentment or purpose or fulfillment or peace, I'll tell you why. It's because you're not meek. You're not humbly submitting yourself to Jesus Christ as Lord. And if you're not meek, well, you know what? You have to go back a step. If you're not meek, it's because you're not mourning your condition and allowing the Comforter to work in your heart. And if you're not mourning your condition, let me tell you why. It's because you're not aware of the poverty of your spirit. You go back another step. Because you still think you have what it takes to live life on your own terms, and you have not acknowledged your own bankruptcy of spirit. See how one builds upon the other, and you start to have a problem here, and you start going back. And oh dear, here's the problem. And if you are not aware of your poverty of spirit, I'm going to tell you something about yourself that you probably already know, but you are trying to cover it up. And certainly those that are close to you probably know. And it's simply this: you're not content or happy. For what Jesus has laid out for us are the foundational elements for true contentment and happiness and peace in life. Let's pray. Lord, these statements that you make that we just kind of read over, and then we start looking in a little deeper, and then before you know it, it's like I'm the bullseye and I've just gotten hit by a bunch of ammo. And we wonder why we're having problems, because we fail to see that we're poor of spirit and we think we can live life our way. And we're having problems because we don't mourn the condition that we're in. And we're having problems because, oh, we want you to be our Savior and save us so we can go to heaven. But Lord, over everything? Oh, Lord. And things start to fall apart because I think I can run my own life and I want to do things my way instead of your way. Instead of humbling humbly before you and saying, Lord, I need you in everything. I need you, Lord. I can't live life without you. And Lord, thank you that you have given us the foundational elements for true contentment and peace and happiness in life. And I pray that we will just surrender our lives to you and allow you to be Lord of all. You know where each one of us is.